Bibles, please, for our second reading as we come to a bittersweet end. I think bittersweet because we have loved reading it, and yet it is a wonder in the way that it ends, of the book of Job, chapter 42. Job chapter 42, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that which I understood not, or that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And it was so, that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, My wrath is kindled against thee, and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite went and did according as the Lord commanded them, and the Lord accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Jemima and the name of the second Keziah and the name of the third Keren-Hapuch. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so what do we have here in this portion of the book of Job where we come to Job's acceptance with God, where the Lord says now of Job, he has spoken the thing which is right concerning me. What did this repentance consist in? And in order to understand it, we must put it in its proper context. There was a time when Job had spoken in such a way, and remember how the Lord, well, it was first Eliphaz, and then the Lord said to Job, who is this that darkeneth counsel without knowledge? Here's a guy speaking what he doesn't know he's talking about. Right? Here's a guy accusing God of things, and he ought rather to have kept his mouth closed. Okay, notice what then the Lord says to Job in chapter 40 as we see this progression. In chapter 40, the Lord says, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. The Lord calls Job out and says, let me have it, Job, if you can. And notice what Job does. He's changed his procedure in chapter 40. What does he say? Behold, what can I say? I'm vile. I'll put my hand on my mouth. That's it. I don't have anything to say. So there's been some progress by the time we get to chapter 40. Okay, but now we come to chapter 42 and we see Job come to the full end. No more progress. Now we see him come to the end of that process here, and notice what it says. Okay? Then Job answered the Lord, because the Lord had already called upon him to respond to him. And so in 42, after the Lord ends his speech, then Job answered the Lord. Now let's listen very carefully to what he says. I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Okay, so notice, first of all, Job is confessing that God can do everything. He had not confessed that. There was a point at which Job had brought God into doubt and his uprightness. Now he says, you can do everything. I acknowledge that. But notice what else he says in verse 3. Listen to this. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? He repeats the Lord's own question back to him, does he not? And what is his answer to that question? Behold, I have uttered that which I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. So notice that Job is now saying what God is saying about him. Is that not what confession of sin is? God convicts us of sin. Actually, the etymology of the word confession for confession of sin is homologeo, which means to say the same things. We begin to take God's side against ourselves in the confession of our sin. Instead of defending ourselves, instead of rising up to our own defense, instead of giving reasons and excuses and so on, we begin to say what God says about us and draw God's words against ourselves such that we stop defending ourselves and take up self-accusation. That's the beginning of repentance. Now notice that Job says, who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Here's his answer to that question. Therefore, have I uttered that which I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Okay, so Job says, you're right, God. I spoke unadvisedly. I spoke without knowledge. Now notice, you would think that Job would say at the end of that, and listen, this is real repentance. This is the works meet for repentance. He says, listen, this is so fascinating. He says, you would expect him to say the same thing he did in chapter 40, right? I'm not going to say any more. I spoke unadvisedly. I spoke without knowledge. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut from here on out. That's not what he says. He says, I've got one more thing to say. I've got one more demand from you, my God. Please don't ever stop speaking to me. Listen to what he says. Let's put it in his words. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, declare thou unto me. Keep speaking to me. Don't shut me off. Don't turn your face away from me. Although I deserve it, I just have one demand left of you, that you will keep dealing with me, that you will keep speaking to me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. All the knowledge that I had of you before, Job says, is like hearing a conversation across the room that you can only hear bits and pieces of. I had heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now, in your own self-disclosure of yourself, now in your opening of my heart, now in your chastisement of my horrible attitude and judgmental attitude toward you, now I see. Some would say that this is Job's conversion here. I don't know. It's hard to know, because the Lord calls him a perfect and upright man even at the beginning of the book. But I wonder, would Job now agree with that assessment? Before I had heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes see thee. And so what is His confession is that I am a perfect and upright man. No, his confession is I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Self-abhorrence, my dear brothers and sisters, is a biblical concept. And I know that when you say that, you're speaking almost hate speech in our society today. But it is a biblical concept. The Lord speaking to his people Israel, yet future, he says in Ezekiel 36, you will loathe yourselves for your sins and your iniquities. Oh, we're told that self-abhorrence and self-loathing is a bad thing. What you want to do is affirm and assert and so on. It's not Bible language. So that's the end. That's the end of Job's confession. Now the Lord turns to the three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. Notice that Elihu is not even mentioned here. Right? Elihu sort of comes on the scene and leaves. Right? We don't hear of him coming. We just hear him standing up and speaking. And then after he's done, God takes up the speech, and we don't hear about Elihu again. But we do hear of these three men. And he says, the Lord says to them, My wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. I think it was probably the case, this is my understanding, that the Lord could not have said that to them until this chapter. It is Job's right confession here in 42 that prompts the Lord at that time. It becomes the right time for the Lord, in his understanding, in his sovereignty, in his omniscience, to turn to those three friends and say, Job is speaking rightly of me, and you have not. And so we'll let Job then, since he has the right understanding of me, I will put him as a mediator, and he will pray for you as you offer your sacrifices. For him I will accept. And what is the Lord doing except in a very earthly sense? He is putting them under Job's spiritual authority so that they will hear Job from henceforth. Right? They need the teaching that Job will offer them. And so that's what the Lord is doing here. And then we find that the latter end of Job's days were better than the former days. That the Lord is a just God, and he never uses someone without paying them. I put that rather baldly, but you understand what I mean. The way the Apostle Paul put it is that even if the reward that we get is in the next life, it is enough. When he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, for I am convinced that the present sufferings of this life are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall follow afterward. This momentary light affliction is working for us a more eternal weight of glory. The Lord brought that about for Job before glory and in the days of his life upon earth to vindicate him before the charges of iniquity that had come against him, and to encourage him in his newfound repentance. And so then, he had three daughters, right? Seven sons and three daughters. And it's interesting, in ancient Near Eastern fashion, you would expect the names of the sons. But you don't get the names of the sons, you get the names of the daughters. And this shows the great blessedness of Job's estate, that he was able to give a full inheritance to each of his daughters, such that they carried an inheritance out of their house. Remember, that's the opposite of the way it flowed in the ancient Near East. In the ancient Near East, if you came to a man to marry his daughter, you brought him money. Remember that? Well, in this situation, they have their own inheritance that they take with them. And so they inherited among their brethren. And notice their names. The first is Jemima. Some of you might want to say that's like Aunt Jemima, right? Well, it's spelled the same way. That's correct. But the name Jemima, let me see. I want to make sure I get these right. There we go. Jemima means turtle dove. Turtle dove. One of the most beloved of the birds, one of the most beautiful of the birds. Keziah means a bow, like a bow that you would shoot, not that you would tie, but a bow that you would shoot. And what does it have to do with regard to the beauty of the daughters of Job? Well, what is a bow? It's shapely, right? And so she's like a bow. And then the third, her name is Keren hapuch. And you know what keren hapuch means? This is going to give you a chuckle, I think. It means, it's a diminutive, and it means a little makeup box. A little makeup box. A little apothecary, right? A little something for her beauty, in other words. And so what did the Lord do? He blessed Job with beautiful and comely daughters as a part of the blessing to Job. And that's what those three names mean. And so then finally notice that Job lived after this 140 years. And so the Lord not only gave Job eternal life, but he gave him length of days as well. Not bad for a man who thought he was about to die for weeks on end. But again, the Lord is a kind and faithful Father. And after the Lord taught Job salvation, then he also gave him much earthly blessing as well. Well, what a great, great book. So next week, then, we do not start in the Psalms. We consider that as part of our New Testament reading. So as we meet then next week, we'll begin in Proverbs chapter 1. All right? Well, with that then, let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of Psalms.